QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for March 21st, 2012. The Aries Audio e-letter report is a voice version of the Aries e-letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/Aries-EL. Or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/Aries-E-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this edition, we have for you Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio Hams Work Tornado Outbreak, 2012 National Hurricane Conference Amateur Radio Activities, ARRL's Emergency Preparedness Manager Corey on FEMA Think Tank Call, a message from ARRL's Emergency Preparedness Manager, KI1U, Get on the Air, Training, ICS Communications Unit, Training, IS-201 on ICS Forms, Letters, Volunteer Management Models, Maps and GPS Fallibility, and the Modern EOC. Formidable Footprint, National Community Neighborhood Exercise Series, Changing of the Guard in North Carolina's Orange County, and K1CE for a final. Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio Hams Work Tornado Outbreak. A devastating storm system moved across the United States on March 2nd, spawning a slew of tornadoes that contributed to at least 28 fatalities in Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. These tornadoes followed an earlier outbreak that began on February 28th and left 13 dead across Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, and Tennessee, and battered parts of Kentucky. The Clark County, Indiana Emergency Management Agency activated the local RACES team to help provide communication support. Hams in eastern Kentucky set up skywarn nets to assist the local National Weather Service office, and Cincinnati area Hams supported the National Weather Service and the American Red Cross. The complete report can be found in the March 14th story at arrl.org/news. 2012 National Hurricane Conference Amateur Radio Activities. The National Hurricane Conference, or NHC, will be held March 26th through March 29th, 2012, at the Hilton Orlando in Orlando, Florida. There will be several amateur radio activities going on during the week. The NHC leadership continues to recognize the valuable contributions of amateur radio and again has invited us to participate with two sessions. What a great opportunity for amateur radio! NHC Session 1 will be held on Monday, March 26th from 1:30 p.m. until 5 p.m. This is the main amateur radio session and is entitled Amateur Radio Training Sessions, Disaster Communications Before, During, and After Hurricanes. NHC Session 2 will be held on Tuesday, March 27th, from 8:30 a.m. until 10 a.m. It will be an amateur radio session designed for emergency management agencies and called an Amateur Radio Wrap Session, the Emergency Manager's Hidden Resource. On Monday, March 26th, from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m., the Orange County Communications Auxiliary, the Orange County EOC, and the ARRL Southeastern Division will host an interactive, free NHC workshop for all Aries-interested amateur radio operators. The workshop will be held at the Orange County Emergency Operations Center, 6590 Amory Court in Winter Park, Florida. You will be able to meet other like-minded hams, the presenters of the Hurricane Conference Amateur Radio Sessions, and a special guest, Dr. Rick Knabb, tropical weather expert at the Weather Channel. The workshop will end with an emergency communications discussion, questions and answers, and door prizes. The three presentations will be live streaming on the Internet at nsradio.org/stream.htm and VOIPWX, again, that's one word, VOIPWX.net/files/stream.htm. All amateur radio operators are invited to attend any or all of these three sessions at no cost, and we encourage you to visit all the activities you can and learn more about amateur radio emergency communications. Hope to see you there. ARRL's Emergency Preparedness Manager Corey on FEMA Think Tank Call. On February 17th, the ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager, Mike Corey, KI1U, and Henry Katz, KB3NYW of Baltimore County, Maryland, participated as presenters in FEMA's Think Tank Conference Call. The conference was hosted by FEMA Deputy Administrator Richard Serino from City Hall in San Francisco, California. In attendance at City Hall were representatives from FEMA local and state emergency management, NGOs, and the private sector. An audience of over 400 from around the country also participated via teleconference. The focus of the Think Tank conference call was the use of technology and social media in emergency management. The two specific topics discussed were, 1. How to communicate with disaster survivors and distribute information to mass audiences if cellular and online communications are unavailable immediately following a catastrophic disaster, and how existing communications tools, such as amateur radio operators, can be linked to other forms of mass communications following a disaster. And 2. How mobile applications can help emergency managers and individuals prepare for, respond to, and quickly recover from disasters. Mr. Katz presented an overview of the amateur radio service. Mr. Corey told about how radio amateurs relay vital messages during a disaster and how amateur radio works in conjunction with new technologies such as the Internet and social media. Following the presentations, there was time for the audience to make comments and ask questions. The feedback received was good, and Deputy Administrator Serino summed it up by saying, "They're not amateurs, but they are very much professionals." For more information on the amateur radio portion of the FEMA Think Tank conference call, see fema.gov/thinktank, and think tank is one word, fema.gov/thinktank. We'll take a short pause now to allow repeaters to identify. This is the audio version of the ARRL Aries e-letter for March 21st, 2012. A message from ARRL's Emergency Preparedness Manager, KI1U. Get on the air. In the March 2012 issue of QST Magazine, your Aries e-letter editor, Rick Palm, K1CE, had some great advice and insight on training and certifications for MCOM. Taking part in regular training, whether a new course or a refresher, has several benefits. First, it lets our served agencies know that we take not only our relationship with them seriously, but their mission, too. Second, the learning experience itself benefits the individual amateur. And third, taking part in regular training keeps us informed on what is happening with our served agencies. Our focus on training, though, has missed something very important. Where do we start training? What is the first thing you should do if you want to help with emergency communications and public service? What is the most important training we can take part in? The answer can be found in your Amateur Radio License Study Manual. At the risk of being tarred and feathered by diehard MCOM enthusiasts, Amateur radio is not all about emergency communications. It is about getting on the air and making use of the spectrum we've been granted. Training starts by turning on your radio. Any time you get on the air is training and a learning experience. It doesn't matter what you do on the air, whether it's field day, rag chewing, nets, DXing, contests, etc. What matters is that you get on the air. Not just when there's an Aries event or an emergency, but at every opportunity, get on the air. Think about this. What would we be doing if we didn't have spectrum to use? We get to keep our spectrum not by spelling out all the what-ifs and doomsday scenarios. We keep it by using it, and using it a lot. There are those that wouldn't mind taking some of our spectrum from us. By saying we need it in an emergency doesn't always work. After all, even the Public Safety Service feels the sting of spectrum grabs. So how is getting on the air training? By being active on the amateur bands, you will increase your knowledge of propagation, rules and regulations, station building, antennas, modes of communication, and building networks through the QSOs you make. It's a perpetual learning environment. After 25 years as an amateur, I still learn new things by being active on the bands. Don't take my word for it. Ask around to those in your MCOM group that have been there, done that, and have a closet full of T-shirts. Getting on the air is a learning experience. You may not get a certificate for getting on the radio, well, perhaps if you try DXing or contesting, and your served agency may not understand your excitement for logging that new country on 10 meters, but you will be learning and growing as an amateur. So start training and get on the air. I hope to see you in my logbook soon. Thanks to Mike Corey, KI1U, the ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager, for this submission. Training ICS Communications Unit. Every incident requires that certain management functions be performed. The problem must be identified and assessed, a plan to deal with it developed and implemented, and the necessary resources procured and paid for. Regardless of the size of the incident, these management functions still will apply. There are five major management functions that are the foundation upon which the ICS organization develops. These functions are 1. Incident Command. Incident Command sets the objectives, strategies, and priorities and has overall responsibility for the incident. 2. Operations. Operations conducts operations to reach the incident objectives and establishes the tactics and directs all operational resources. 3. Planning. Planning supports the incident action planning process by tracking resources, collecting and analyzing information, and maintaining documentation. 4. Logistics. Logistics provides resources and needed services to support the achievement of the incident objectives. And 5. Finance and Administration. Finance and Administration monitors costs related to the incident, provides accounting, procurement, and records times. The Communications Unit comes under the Logistics function and develops the Communications Plan, ICS-205, to make the most effective use of the communications equipment and facilities assigned to the incident. Additionally, this unit installs and tests all communications equipment, supervises and operates the Incident Communications Center, distributes and recovers communications equipment assigned to incident personnel, and maintains and repairs communications equipment on site. The Communications Unit is responsible for effective incident communications planning, especially in the context of a multi-agency incident. All communications between organizational elements during an incident should be in plain language to ensure that information dissemination is clearly understood by all intended recipients. Planning is critical for determining required radio nets, establishing interagency frequency assignments, and ensuring the interoperability and optimal use of all assigned communications capabilities. The communications unit leader should attend all incident planning meetings to ensure that the communications systems available for the incident can support tactical operations planned for the next operational period. Incident communications are managed through the use of an incident communications plan and a communications center established solely for the use of tactical and support resources assigned to the incident. Advance planning is required to ensure that an appropriate communication system is available to support incident operations requirements. This planning includes the development of frequency inventories, frequency use agreements, and interagency radio caches. NETs. Radio networks for large incidents may be organized as follows. Number 1. Command Net. The command net links together incident command, command staff, section chiefs, branch directors, and division and group supervisors. Number 2. Tactical nets. Several tactical nets may be established to connect departments, agencies, geographical areas, or specific functional units. The determination of how nets are set up should be a joint function designed by planning, operations, and logistics. Number 3. Support net. A support net may be established primarily to handle changes in resource status, but also to handle logistic requests and other non-tactical functions. Number 4. Air-to-ground net. An air-to-ground net may be used to coordinate air-to-ground traffic. Either a specific tactical frequency may be designated, or regular tactical nets may be used. And number 5. Air-to-air nets. Air-to-air nets may be designated and assigned for use at the incident. An air-to-air net is designed to be used by airborne assets. Ground units should not utilize this net. It's time again to take a short pause to allow repeaters to identify. This is the audio version of the ARRL ARIES e-letter for March 21, 2012. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. Now, more on training IS-201 on ICS forms. Garth Kennedy, W9KJ, the administrative officer at the Naperville, Illinois EMA, writes, "There is a new IS-201 class that overviews some of the ICS forms that could be used in an incident. While the mix covered in this class is different than what I have seen in actual incidents, the class does present the forms and should provide a good overview of how and why they are utilized. I would suggest that this class be considered for more advanced ARIES-RACES personnel. We will be adding it to the certification requirements for personnel on our command vehicle." Rick Palm, K1CE, adds, "This is a web-based training course on the National Incident Management System and the Incident Command System. The course is designed to provide training through an independent study vehicle on the use of ICS forms. You may take the course online at training.fema.gov/emiweb/is/is201.asp. Note, there are no spaces in this web address, and I will repeat it for you. training.fema.gov/emiweb/is/is201.asp. Now, letters. And the first one is entitled Volunteer Management Models. Matt May is the Kansas City Emergency Manager, MEP Assistant Director of Operations at the Johnson County Division of Emergency Management in Olathe, Kansas. And he writes, "I was the Emergency Coordinator in Leon County, Florida, and read your final in the last issue with interest. It matches closely with our typing list that I, along with Brian Short, KC0BS, developed several years ago after FEMA first released their initial typing structure. At the time, I was the technology projects manager for the Mid-America Regional Council and was developing regional typing standards for the entire Kansas City region for all emergency services personnel, including volunteer groups such as Amateur Radio, CERT, and the Medical Reserve Corps. In my role as an emergency manager, I am now on the receiving end of the hams who want to help, but I don't dare risk putting ineffective or untrained personnel into key positions using limited resources. This typing has been helpful in sending the right people to other jurisdictions locally, and we hope it will be just as helpful on a state-to-state basis. How long has Flagler County been using their typing structure? Did you get any kickback from the hams when you implemented it? What do you think it will take to get those adopted on a national level so we can share resources with some confidence that as a receiving agency we are getting what we need? Rick Palm, K1CE, replied, "There is a wealth of good information on the Flagler County, Florida model of volunteer management, including a program manual, application forms, and a volunteer typing matrix that was featured in the last issue. Take a look at flaglermergency.com/pages.php?PID=75. Note there are no spaces. I will repeat that. flaglermergency.com/pages.php?PID=75. Our second letter is entitled Maps and GPS Fallibility. Murray Goldberg, KD2IN in Toms River, New Jersey, wrote, "The story, Hams Help Save the Life of Fellow Ham, in the December 2011 issue, was interesting and heartwarming. The one thing that caught my eye was the misleading by the GPS in trying to lead the driver to the motel he was looking for. I try to use the internet mapping programs offered by Google and others. I print out the road and street layout of the location I'm headed for when it is not a familiar location. I use my GPS to verify that I'm on the roads that my map shows I should be on as I go along. When the GPS starts to send me to a road that I know from the map is a wrong one, I know not to trust or follow the GPS any longer. I then use the map and the roads shown on it to get where I need to get to. Speaking in general, this is a good practice for any travel to an unfamiliar location." Our third letter, the modern EOC, comes from Eugene Mirsky, K5ZX in North Texas. He writes, "Thanks for the article on page 88 of the February 2012 edition of QST Magazine. It puts amateur radio in context in the EOC. I wholeheartedly agree with Troy and Bob's assessment stated in the last paragraph. I came to the same conclusion several years ago and joined up with CERT, the Medical Reserve Corps, and the local county sheriff's office, Citizens on Patrol. The MCOM landscape has changed drastically here since 9/11 and Hurricanes Katrina and Ike. Our county mobile command center is equipped with every radio service imaginable, including satellite and internet communications and amateur radio. Interoperability is vastly improved, though not perfect. Our local fire department reinstalled VHF radios in some of the trucks that are used for mutual aid to other counties, since we have an 800 megahertz trunking system. But the more rural counties are on VHF FM. Currently, there is a 700 megahertz system being overlaid with the 800 megahertz system for interoperability. Half of our CERT members are radio amateurs. We have been called out for search and rescue and use amateur radio and GMRS as our primary communication systems. The Medical Reserve Corps relies almost entirely on amateur radio for point-to-point communications, as there are no funds for the expensive digital trunking radio systems. Being a member of these different response groups allows one to meet and work with the decision-makers at the county and city level. They see you as an emergency asset with a radio, not just someone who can talk on a radio. This is the audio version of the ARRL ARES e-letter for March 21, 2012. We'll pause again for 7 seconds to allow repeaters to identify. Formidable Footprint, National Community, Neighborhood Exercise Series. The series of Formidable Footprint exercises for neighborhood, community, and faith-based organizations continues. The March 31st scenario is an earthquake. April 28th's exercise involves flood scenarios. Exercises have also been scheduled for the following scenarios: hurricane, pandemic, tornado, and wildfire. The Formidable Footprint Exercise Series has been developed in accordance with the Homeland Security Exercise and Evaluation Program, HSEEP, protocols. The objective of the exercise series is for CERTs, neighborhood watch programs, neighborhood associations, community faith-based organizations, citizen corps, fire corps, and others to work as a team to become better prepared for the next disaster their community may face. There is no charge for participation in any of the Formidable Footprint exercises. For additional information or to register for upcoming exercises, please access the following website, formidablefootprint.org, and please note, Formidable Footprint is one word. You may also stay informed regarding future exercises by joining the Formidable Footprint LinkedIn group. Changing of the guard in North Carolina's Orange County. Laurie Meyer, N1YXU, has retired as the ARES EC for Orange County, North Carolina. During Ms. Meyer's tenure, the Orange County program was broadened with stellar leadership. Ms. Meyer is the first to receive the North Carolina ARES Area 10 Outstanding Service Award. She humbly dedicated the award to the Orange County ARES Group. Ms. Meyer was instrumental in developing their ARES leadership team. She structured weekly nets, along with meetings called Ready Rallies, that have produced better-informed personnel, and she trained ARES members. After Ms. Meyer's resignation, Steve Albaum, W3AHL, has gracefully accepted the position as the new ARES EC for Orange County, North Carolina. Because of ramped-up objectives by emergency management for interoperability and increased training demands, his new role will require strong leadership skills. Mr. Albaum is well-respected among the amateur community and brings a lot to the table. He has been part of the ARES leadership team as an assistant EC. This information was supplied from the North Carolina ARES Area 10 News, Volume 1, Issue 1, January 2012. And now K1CE for a final. I'm back on D-Star, says Rick Palm, with my ICOM IC2200H, and will have some reports of my experiences in the next few issues. It certainly is an exciting mode, and the implications for amateur radio MCOM are almost limitless, with numerous applications for digital voice and data. Thanks go to the ARRL's Emergency Preparedness Manager, Mike Corey, KI1U, for his contribution to this month's newsletter and for his continuing work for the League's MCOM programs. And that's the ARES Audio E-Letter for March 21, 2012. The ARES Audio E-Letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARES Audio E-Letter is a voice version of the ARRL ARES E-Letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2012, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.